Okay, January 2022, Trevor.
Everyone thinks it's going to be a good year because we've had our fair share of bad ones. But the end of 2021 was a very good year for rain. I've got the rainfall stats here because I put the rain gauge up and we got 439.5 millimetres between June and December. Now, that will almost certainly give us a bit better than average annual rainfall. And the interesting thing is that all the months up to December were very good. So we got 85, 136, 45, 36, 70 and 64. But then in December we got 3 mils. And we have mentioned before that we sold a lot of heirloom tomatoes to various people.
It was a fabulous fundraiser. Trevor,
yeah,
was amazing.
Yeah, but not only was it a fundraiser, you followed it up. You followed it up and got feedback, didn't you?
It has been absolutely wonderful. I've got people sending me photos of their tomatoes. Unfortunately, I had a bit of an incident before Christmas and wasn't able to be in the house for a few weeks, so mine carked it, which is a bit tragic, but everybody else's. Do you know what I love about when I get the photos of the tomatoes? Is it's that real sense that gardening is a community thing. Gardening brings people together, and I actually had a lovely woman, she's in my writing group, and I saw her in the library the other day. She's like, Michelle, my tomatoes, I've got to send you photos. It was lovely. It's been fantastic. So, you know, it's never too late to learn a new skill, too. Some of these people hadn't ever grown before.
Well, it is really good to see that the heirloom tomatoes have been terrific. You know, there were those 5 varieties, and they're all good tasting, because that's the other part, because we're actually getting converts, not because of gardening, but because of the taste of the produce, you know.
Absolutely. I've been slicing mine thickly on those big rye crackers with some herb salt, and that's lunch. It's just...
Yeah, you slice them reasonably thickly, and you put cracked pepper on them, and I put a bit of chicken with sea salt, and that's bloody delicious too. So.
And then Nita's discovered kasundi, so she's been making kasundi.
Well, yeah, we put 2.5 kilo. I mean, we got 40 tomatoes in, and that was terrific rainfall. So almost, I mean, it's sort of a lie in that we all think we're great tomato growers, but the season was a good season.
It was a good season. It was a spectacular season.
So you could just about sit back on your butt and do nothing, and they would have produced some beautiful examples in those.
Which is my favourite kind of gardening. You don't have to put in a huge effort.
Well, those brandy vines, they're massive.
They're beautiful. One thing I did notice, they were really hardy, because my daughter-in-law and my mum, both of theirs took a massive battering in that hailstorm. And bless them both, they ran out to rescue them, and you just couldn't. Anyone who experienced that hailstorm, you just couldn't. True. But then they all kind of came back a bit. So they're a bit later, but they're all coming back, which I think is really gorgeous.
I've had one problem in that in December we had 3 mils. So suddenly after all that rain of, you know, 50 mil a month and stuff like that, and coming regularly, the rain ran out. And I didn't have the knowledge to keep pouring the water and the fertiliser into my Roma. So they all got blossom end rot.
Oh,
I think my mum got that too.
Yeah, she was saying, now ask Trevor, the bottom of my tomato, but I have to say it was blossom end rot, but her brandy wines were fine. So, I know.
It's funny, only the little aromas that caused me problems. But so if that happened to you, well, you were just like me, you just were a bit too slack in following up all that rainfall.
We were lazy.
Yeah, well, I did water them, of course, but after that amount of rain, they were used to a lot.
Yeah. Actually, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because normally you'd be thinking, oh, yep, I've planted enough, I've watered enough. This is how much I usually water. But it's about really watching those seasons, watching what the weather's doing.
It comes out really hot and deadly. So if the other thing could be calcium, but if you've got a bit of gypsum, that will fix that problem of calcium. But I think mainly it's irregular watering. So that's the sort of summation of the year. It really, it was one hell of a year. And we obviously had the coronavirus, and we had a history of just about everything happening everywhere, you know.
I know. But you know what? I guess it highlights when things are really difficult, really kind of find solace in the garden. Really, you can still have your successes in there, and I think that's really important, focusing on those really lovely small moments where you are like, okay, it wasn't a great year, but, you know.
Well, it wasn't a great year abroad, but in the garden it probably was.
Yeah.
Because you and I both got really good spuds, you know.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh, that was fantastic. I was just, like, hauling them up, and I made Spanish omelettes the other night. And I'll actually tell you my favourite potato recipe, Trevor, if there's time. Yeah. You can only do this one from potatoes with the garden. Scrub them.
Yep.
Steam them.
Leave the skin on.
Leave the skin on. Always leave the skin on.
Yeah.
Chop them up.
Yeah.
Bit of butter, bit of salt. Bang. There you go. You cannot stuff out. It is so...
We were just really saying what we were harvesting this year, so there'll be a lot of people out there who are not just harvesting tomatoes.
No.
There'll be people who would have planted, well, hopefully they're all planting herbs now, so we can rely upon them planting things like parsley, garlic, and basil, and we're both saying that's a funny year for basil.
It is an odd year for basil. Mum grew hers in a pot this year, and she's had a lot of success, but interestingly, she didn't grow it near the tomatoes this year, and it went bananas. Normally, she'd plant it near the tomatoes, but she didn't.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think you're right. It's a more heat-loving...
Yeah, I think it does like the heat. But I have harvested good garlic. I can't complain. My corn's looking all right. My kiwi's looking all right. And, well, I've just popped in some mesclun and rocket for lettuces. I don't think these days you can grow iceberg or anything like that. I think you're better off growing the, you know, fancy stuff, the odd stuff. That.
And I love that. And I think what I love about all those is the cut and come cut again. Just go out there, cut what you want, and it just lasts so much longer. It's just the rocket will self-seed all over the yard. You know, you'll be digging up something. And, be
and it has that nice bitter counter taste, doesn't it? You know?
It does. I actually often... throw some into a pesto. Just, you know, just
Get there's a lot of pestos out there now. Cashews too, because pine nuts are very expensive. So I have beautiful carrots and beans, and one thing about carrots is that you can get juices, your own juices, so it's well worthwhile putting in carrots. Now, on a less familiar note, the flowers that we've done this year, I've actually sort of outdone myself in that I've got good pentstemon and salvias and artemisia.
Well, you've become quite the convert to the flower, haven't you, Trevor?
Well, mostly because you can sit there and you can look at them closely and you can see the big fat blue banded bees there, and you can see the things that look like flies, but they're actually bees.
Yeah.
And you can see a whole range of spiders and ladybirds and stick insects and that. And so you can sit there and watch your own little zoo.
And I think that we were just talking earlier, there is a much better awareness now that if you're going to be growing, grow to attract the wildlife to your garden. We all know the bees are in danger, and I think it's fantastic that we can actually plant stuff that, I mean, because there is nothing more exciting. Like, we were just out before, you know, there's this one butterfly, and there's the buddleias attracts that. So I think, yeah, you're right. It's just that fantastic sense that I've planted stuff and people want to come visit.
Yeah, well, it's gaining momentum because of the fact that, you know, in a spoonful of compost, there is a million or 2 million microorganisms that... It's actually a story of life versus death. You know, the organic foods now are being seen as life. And I think that's where the fertility is as well as the interest. So if you go to YouTube, you'll find that the idea of wildlife garden is pretty much catching on. There's one called The Wild Gardener, which is a photographer in England who does a thing about how he took an acre and turned it into a sanctuary. You do need water. That's the essential element. You need sort of wetlands or ponds. You've got to give them a supply of water, because we must have six or so water bowls throughout our garden. At least two of them are always full. The other four get full daily. But it's amazing what you find. You find that magpies are hogs. They're very aggressive. And they take over the main water bowl. But the, you know, the white-naped honey-eater is a bit shyer. So it comes to one where it's a bit quieter. And I got one that's really no use to anyone else, but the bees are all there. So you find that if you give them enough water, they'll all come. And now these plants that we're talking about are their food, you know, and probably their recreation as well, really. I've planted penstemon salvias and artemisias. Now, the artemisias are not particularly good, but the penstemon and salvias both had a great harvest of beautiful purple flowers, and you can find just by sitting and looking at them that they got constant visitors, you know. So I think we have to say that we are strongly in favour of wildlife gardens, and both of us are sort of novices at native gardens.
We are, and it's embarrassing to say that in a way, because we're so keen on, I guess, kind of connecting with what's natural, and, you know, we are both a bit late to the native gardens, and yet I think what's more important is we may be late to it, but gosh, we've taken to it with such a passion, haven't we? And
they don't die.
It is a huge thing. And I think one of the things that we'll be talking about this year is our journey, because as a gardener, you are always learning.
Yep.
And our journey into the things that we are having success with around the native plants in Gawler, around the bush tucker plants. Like I was saying, I have a native rocket and I've got a native thyme bush. The flavour is slightly more antiseptic is the word I want to use, but it's fabulous. And I've got a lemon myrtle in a pot under the veranda.
That's a nice one, yeah.
And that's my cup of tea.
Mm.
A couple of, you know, two or three leaves steeped in a cup of hot water. Like, absolutely divine.
Yeah, so the natives, they do provide you with flower. I have success with the Sturt Desert Peas, and my wife came back from Alice Springs with a couple of packets of seed as a gift, and it was the date floral symbol of South Australia's Sturt Desert Pea, and of Northern Territory, the Desert Rose, and I put hot water on them both. Well, that's what they said. They said they needed hot water, and I got the Sturt Desert Pea to come, but none of the Desert Rose. But when I put boiling water on, I got the Desert Rose and not the Sturt Desert Pea. So they're not that easy to get up.
No.
But once you get up, the Sturt Desert Pea did very well. It has a seed, which unfortunately being eaten by something at present, but we have a safe one in a pot, which should save the day. But the beautiful red, black-eyed flower, I mean, it's a stunning thing.
It's beautiful, and they look amazing in the garden.
So, I mean, I can call that a success. Unfortunately, we come from a European background, and all the gardens everywhere in suburbia are all European, you know. Yeah. They're lawns and lavender and all that sort of thing. Nothing wrong with that, but
nothing wrong with that, no, but
we're going to have to change over to our more indigenous stuff slowly as soon as we get the knowledge for it, you know.
Absolutely. And just give things a go. It's like with anything, give it a go. Like I planted some of the bush tucker plants and they just went, I was just like, wow, they just went bananas. Of course they did.
Yeah.
They went, thank you, we're home.
And they don't need a lot of water, which is a grace, and it's just great saving.
Yeah.
I also, well, this is a bit controversial, but I'm sort of in favour of unkempt gardens, that the neatness and tidiness you see all the time on TV, where people think put things in rows, and they know the cameraman's coming, and the cameraman says, well, I'm going to keep this as a record in posterity for what you've done. So everything's lined up, everything's neat, and not a weed in sight. Well, that's probably wrong for the native garden.
Absolutely.
And it's also wrong for the wildlife, because things like lizards live in, you know, the lop and drop situation where you get very tall weeds that fall to the ground, and it gives the lizard somewhere to run between. It runs underneath, it makes its own paths. It works, you know.
Yeah.
But you cannot come through and neaten it all up, because you ruin the environment for these things. So that's another thing where you've got to get your head around, and that no longer is it pretty and neat and that sort of thing. Now it's rugged and it's unkempt and it's natural. And so it's not just a matter of getting to know the plants, it's also a matter of coming to terms with changes.
My nieces say to me that they love my garden because they feel like they can play in it. Mm-hmm. And I definitely do not have a neat, tidy garden, but I have a successful garden. And I think that's lovely too, like, you know, attracting the wildlife. And my nieces are a little wild, Lord love them. But that made me really happy, that it felt inviting to them. Well, then that's actually creating a really beautiful sense of them wanting to spend time in nature as well, as opposed to, well, we better not move that or touch that or pick that flower in case we get in trouble. We've got to invite everybody in.
Well, this is it. I mean, I must admit that bull ants are not welcome. So I have severely culled the bull ant population because they were making it life difficult for my little chickens and stuff. But apart from that, the idea is to bring in the stick insects, the ladybirds, of all the birds and everything. So that is the idea. And you can do it in a veggie garden because there are things like sunflowers that don't even skip a beat, you know, they're part of the scene. And yeah, the bees are coming and going all the time, so you do have to be a bit practical. But on the other hand, the whole idea is for life, not death, you know. You're not poisoning anything at all that you don't have to. So I think that's the idea of the wildlife garden. And there's a lot on YouTube that does talk about regenerative agriculture too. So it's not just planting. It's a worldwide movement. It's probably going to get bigger than the climate change movement, because to regenerate what is 60% of the Earth's surface is possible now, because we know how to do it. You see, you can change the hydrology by just putting in weirs along river courses and keeping the water in rather than letting it run to the ocean. And you can do a lot just by rotating animals rather than overgrazing. You keep them on the move. So there's a lot to say that this is a thing of the future. And I think gardening has got that advantage over a lot of other things, in that it's definitely about nature, you know. It's definitely about improving the earth and improving the air and the water and the soil. So that's my philosophy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So what are we going to plant now, Trevor?
All right. Well, for now, the winter planting. Now, I must admit that if you look at our June, well, it's actually May, June podcast 21, we did talk about winter flowers, and we apologise because we were a bit late. So January is the time when you, if you've got seed, if you want a whole host of winter flowering plants, and you can go and buy the seed for $4 or something, you can put them in small pots now, and you can plant them out by the end of May. Well, that will give you your winter flowers. And it's, you know, it seems a long time off, but that's how long it takes to go from seed to flower. So if you plant seed now, you'll probably be looking at May, June, July when you're seeing the benefits. And in particular, sweet peas. The goal of sweet peas are good, but all the sweet peas are good.
Talk about successes of 2021. Mm. Your sweet peas.
I know.
Like, I tell you what, Trevor was a sweet pea in a podcast all on his own. It was unbelievable. Like, you know what? Grow them for the aroma alone.
Oh, for the fact they're vertical.
I know. Unbelievable.
Climb up your walls. Yep.
Absolutely gorgeous. Those sweet peas.
And you can take them inside. Yeah. They last for about a week inside.
I know, they were beautiful.
So sweet peas are definitely a go. They're a big success. And you're in Gawler, so they are one of the ones that work very well in Gawler. There are a massive number of ones that we've mentioned to you, so you have to go back to that podcast. I think it's in June.
Yep, May, June.
Of 21. But cornflowers are fantastic. French marigolds are fantastic. So get to work and put some seed in now. Now, they will take between 16 and 24 weeks to actually bring them up. So there'll be certain things you're planting now that you're actually looking at as flowers in next spring. But we got it wrong last time. We're getting it right this time. We're letting you know that it's a good time for planting those winter flowers. And I probably should mention the fact that you can also plant a lot of veggies, but I think I already have mentioned
a veggie or two.
Mm.
Definitely.
So the other thing I notice is that, talking about harvest, you're halfway through your summer harvest and you might find that it's weakening a bit. Now, a lot of people will tell you you have to use liquid fertilizer every 2 weeks on your plants, and they're right. So if you've got a spare moment and you've got a big bag of Rapid Raiser or Dynamic Lifter, get a bucket and fill it about a third full of those pellets, and then fill the bucket to the top with water and stir it every day for 2 weeks, and then tip out all that water, which by now will be liquid fertilizer, into, you know, 2 liter bottles with a funnel, and make your own liquid fertilizer out of those pellets. Because what happens this time of year is that all those tomatoes you're picking, all those zucchinis you're picking, are actually exhausting the poor bloody plant, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, actually. Did I tell you that gardening was labor intensive?
That is an annoying part of the garden because I show them all those magazines that I buy and they just still won't just miraculously turn out that way.
So you can add seaweed, you can add Epsom salts, you can add a lot of stuff, including potash and iron chelates to those fertiliser, but you really need a whole host of 2-litre containers of your own homemade liquid fertilizer this time of year, and you just got to find the time to apply it. And I know it's difficult, but then again, that's what makes a gardener really that gets through all of that. It's best to do it in the morning. I must admit, everything about gardening is best in the morning in summertime.
Oh, no, the other day I was out there at 6 o'clock. I kind of made a coffee and I was wandering around looking at a few things, and I thought, I'll just do this and I'll just do that, and like 2 hours and a cold coffee later. Yeah. And then I thought, this is the beauty of it. So I do a lot of pyjama gardening, I'm not going to lie, and I think it is best. And then you sort of sit back at the end of the day and you have your glass of wine and you think, I'm glad I did that this morning. It looks good.
Yeah, well, you always have to do that every morning. There's irrigation at present as well, which is also a similar time-consuming effort. But anyone who's got a hobby knows that it's going to be time-consuming. So it doesn't matter whether you do crochet or mend old cars. It's always the same. They always take too much time.
They do. That's the beauty of it. So
it's glasses raised.
Glasses raised.
To the start of 2022. Let's hope it's a good year. I think it probably will be because like so many things, we've changed everything. Really.
We have changed everything and we're looking at, life's different. And I think one of the beauties of, we've had to stay home. So I think people are appreciating their gardens a bit more.
Yep.
So appreciate yours. And I'm thinking next month, Trevor, what are we discussing?
Well, I think we'll go on, because we've discussed everything, and like all gardening programs do, they discussed everything already, but I think we'll go on with the idea of building a catalogue of native plants.
All right, sounds good.
I've got a couple of books here that do exactly that. They say, don't plant this plant. They get rid of the introduced European weeds, and they give you a local substitute. So we have to get to that point, don't we, really?
We do. Yeah, let's talk about that next month. Can I talk about my new love of having a blower vac next month?
No.
Trevor's upset because his wife won't let him have one. But I think I just wondered if we'll touch base on having tools in the garden, because I have always been a hideous snob about having electric tools. But now, like all hideous snobs about something, I'm a complete convert. So we might have a bit of a quick chat about that.
But okay, that'll be interesting.
That'll be interesting, and Trevor won't speak to me because he still won't be allowed to have his blower back. So next month?
Yeah, well, we'll always have to talk about what's happening next month, and it will be probably February next month.
Yeah, it will be February next
month. So all the things we said today will start to get urgent. You will have to put your winter plants in, so you may have been having a bit of a blood over Christmas, but now it's time to work again.
All right, so see you next month, Trevor.
Yep, see you then, Michelle.